And time now for us to welcome in our very next guest here in studio on our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series, brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing, worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. Today, we are shining the spotlight on Avon Lake, and we've got Avon Lake Superintendent Bob Scott joining us here in studio. How are you, my friend?
Andy, doing great. Thanks for having me. It's always a joy.
Oh, we love having you here in the studio, and I think the last time we had you in, it was over the summertime, and we were talking about the different processes used and the questions being thrown out about the state report cards and things like that. So much lighter material to discuss here today for the most part, and we're going to begin with something I think that you guys are pretty excited about participating in, the 1 Million Acts of Kindness campaign. So who all from Avon Lake was involved, and how did this come about?
You know, today, if I get it right, the kindness bus actually went between our four elementary schools. We have four neighborhood schools, you know, Westview, Redwood, Erie View, and Eastview. And the bus stopped today at all four campuses. And Bob, who is the driver of the bus, and Bogart, his dog, did presentations at each campus. And it's part of our anti-bullying character-building piece. But it is really based on very, very positive things. And the biggest piece of it is every time you do an act of kindness, whoever you do that act of kindness to is going to do it to somebody else later on. It's going to pass it forward. So, you know, it's a great piece for us, and it's a wonderful day.
Absolutely, and it seemed like the kids certainly got behind that as well. Speaking of the kids doing extraordinarily well, tell us about the band. The band recently won an award, right, at the Buckeye Invitational. What kinds of hardware do they come away with?
Well, they you know, they get, you know, of course, the trophies are wonderful. You know, I think the first piece of it is the fact that you get to go to Columbus and you get to go to Ohio State and you get to perform, you know, on the field, and really it's a wonderful experience for the kids all day. You know, they did well, they played well. It's a piece for them. You know, they've qualified for the state, and part of this is when they go to somewhere like Ohio State, they're able to go out and get under a little bit of pressure for when in a couple of weeks they get to go to that state contest and work for that superior rating when they get to that next step.
Very cool stuff. That's got to be a thrill for those kids to perform under pressure like that in an environment like that. I mean, I think if you're a band member of any kind, that's got to be a dream come true to play at Ohio Stadium.
You know, it is, and we actually have a great legacy there. You know, we've had a couple of our band majors that have been the band major at Ohio State through the years. So, you know, we've got a nice connection with them. And, you know, I was talking to one of the moms today, and, you know, she was trying to get her son to change over to the tuba so that he'd have a chance someday to be able to dot the I. So it's like, come on. All right, he's a percussionist, and he's a good one. Let him be a percussionist.
And while we're on that topic, Steve Bailey's actually making his Ohio Stadium debut. He's going to see an Ohio State football game for the very first time on Saturday. And, you know, that's a big part of what you're going to see down there. I mean, when the band goes out there and plays, it's a really cool part of that whole atmosphere down there. So I think you'll like that.
Yeah, I think so. Seeing the best damn band in the land, that's always interesting. And it's crazy, all the videos that you've seen of all the different pictures and different things they make when they do montages of certain, you know, artists and things of that nature. It's crazy. So yeah, I can't imagine if you're a band member and you're going to Ohio State to see one of the best bands in the world on the collegiate level, it's got to mean all the world to the kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just to be in the spotlight like that, that's got to be really, really cool. Again, Bob Scott, Avon Lake Superintendent, joining us here on the Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. All right, I was reading this a couple days ago, and I thought, boy, this is really interesting. So your eighth graders had a chance to experience mock crimes. You guys actually drew out these crime scene investigations. They were able to work with local police officers as well. So how did this all work?
We have a CSI class at the campus, and, you know, we've got two SRO officers, one at the high school, one at the middle school, two in the district. And, you know, part of what they do is create relationships with the kids, and this class is one of the ways to do that. What's fun about this is they're actually working with the English Language Arts Department, and they're reading a Agatha Christie book. So what the police officer has done is basically set up the same crime as is in the Agatha Christie book. And the kids have to have not read the book yet. So what they're doing at this point is they're going through the crime scene and they're trying to figure out who done it, basically. Huh. So it's great, and it's very technology based. You know, they use iPads and codes and all kinds of things in order to put together exactly what happened. And then they read the book to see if they're right.
Huh. So it's kind of like playing a grown-up game of Clue, right? That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
You know, that's exactly right. And we've talked about this before, Andy. We spend a lot of time making things real. You know, you can only learn so much sitting in a classroom going from a book. You can only learn so much with the teacher giving you content and putting stuff up. In the world today, it's much more how do you take that content and how do you use it? So every time we have an opportunity to use content and do higher level thinking skills, and that's really what this is. It's really synthesis. You're taking different parts and pieces, you're synthesizing and coming up with an answer in the end. We love to do it.
Absolutely. It's always fun to see how the kids are able to apply what they have learned, and it sounds like this scenario certainly gives them a great opportunity to do that. All right. I've been dying to ask you this question for the last couple of weeks when it kind of, not necessarily caught fire, but it really became big news in this area. And, you know, it's interesting because I had never seen anything like this before, but you guys have new seating rules for your high school football games. And, you know, there are different rules associated for different grade levels and certain seating sections and things like that. So how did all this come about? And more importantly, how did this work for your first home game?
Well, and we'll start at that point and go backwards. It actually worked out very, very well. The fifth graders through eighth graders are seated in the west end zone of the stadium, behind the end zone at the west end of the stadium. They've got their own seating. You know, they've got people who are monitoring them there. K to fourth grade kids are sitting with their parents in the stands. And of course, then we have our high school cheering section, which is, you know, is magnificent, does a great job, and they sit in the regular bleachers on our side. You know, through the years, we've tried to do different things. You know, Avon Lake Memorial Stadium is a beautiful football facilities. I mean, it's, you know, we have great stands on both sides. The field's great. But it's very intimate. There's not a lot of room. It's tight all the way around it. You know, as a matter of fact, they actually found the original plaque for the original high school on that site that was built in 1923.
Wow.
I just talked to a guy today, and they're going to bring it back up to us, and we're going to re-put it on the building. That's where my office is in the 1923 part, which we still use. But so it's the same site that the school's been on for about 100 years, and there's not a lot of places to expand on that site. So for years, we've tried to do different things with those kids that come in, and we know that especially the younger kids like to socialize, you know, and they watch the game a little, they talk with their friends. You know, we've tried putting up cones and streamers, and, you know, we made one really bad attempt and tried to actually put them up in the bleachers close to the adults, and, you know, that didn't work at all because, you know, a 10-year-old kid going from the top of the bleachers to the bottom of the bleachers on metal bleachers, you know, it sounds like a herd of buffalo going down and coming up. So we stopped that one. So we've made a lot of attempts. Most of the other Southwest Conference schools in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years have started putting the kids out on the field in their own section. So they can enjoy themselves, and then the rest of the people that are there to watch the game can get to the concession stand, can get to the restrooms, and everybody can enjoy the experience. So, you know, somebody asked, was there an incident? Did something happen? No. You know, we have good attendance at the games, which we want. We want everybody to enjoy the game, and we've tried other things, and none of them have been quite right. We think this is it. And if the first game is any indication, it's going to work well because the kids enjoyed themselves, and we got so many comments afterwards of, Bob, it's great, it worked great. I actually could go to the concession stand and get my stuff and get back to my seat, and I didn't have to weave my way through, you know, 300 kids from the middle school.
Well, and see, that was exactly where I was going with that as well, and that's what makes you such a great interviewee is the fact that you could essentially answer questions before they're ever actually asked. But in any time you see specific rule changes like this brought to the table, I think we're all apt to think, okay, what happened? Now, having called and been to many of your games in the past, wait, nothing ever seems like it would have ever happened there. That's why I think it's interesting, because you guys have always seemed to have a pretty controlled environment and a great environment there. Now, when you see rules like this laid out, you're immediately going to think, okay, what do the kids think about this? Because for the adults, this sounds fantastic because the environment's a bit more controlled. As you mentioned, the 10-year-olds aren't running up and down the bleachers. And what, at your place, that can be a lot of fun if you're 10 years old going up and down those bleachers. It's pretty steep. It's pretty fun. But you could also see how somebody trying to enjoy the game would be a little bit distracted by something like that. But, you know, how do the kids take to that environment?
Well, and we were—I was down in the end zone a lot during the game, talking to them, and of course, have change, which is always difficult. So there was a lot of speculation up to the time the game actually happened that, oh, the kids would think it was punishment. Kids aren't going to go because it's not going to be any fun. You know, are you going to let them go to the restroom, or are they going to have to sit there? And it's just like class. If somebody has to go to the restroom, we let them go to the restroom. And we're going to make a few changes, especially at halftime when they go to concession, what'll make it even better. But I think the overall consensus from the kids was, yeah, this is pretty good. You know, we can talk to our friends. We can watch the game. It is the best seat in the stadium. You know, they're about 20 yards off the back line of the west end zone. So you get to see a lot of stuff really close up. You know, they had a great time when the first extra point got kicked right into the stands, and they thought that was wonderful. So it was. It's going to work well. We're going to keep adjusting it to make sure that we can make it better every week. So we're excited about it.
In the high school's kids, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing, too, where you go to a game like this, you're going to enjoy the festivities, you're going to enjoy the atmosphere. Somebody brought this question to my attention a little while ago. You know, if you have a younger brother or sister, do the same rules kind of apply? Like, if mom and dad don't come to the game, and a high school kid who's able to drive drives the younger brother or sister out there, do the same kind of rules apply with the seating in the whole nine yards, or does that change the game a little bit when things like that happen?
You know, and we've talked to several people. I had parents come down and say, you know, my daughter's a seventh grader. She wants to sit with me. Is that okay? Does she have to go out on the field and sit with? No, I mean, those, you know, we are very adaptable, you know, and we know that there are different situations that go on. And it is a very, very friendly place for kids to be. Now, we try to keep the younger kids out of the high school section because, you know, that's a pretty intense place during the game. You know, when you've got 500-600, you know, kids up there chanting, you don't necessarily want a fifth grader right in the middle of them. So we would work out with them on what we're going to do. So, you know, there are those little oddities that go on, and we're going to work with everybody.
Good stuff. Well, you're stuck with me again tomorrow because I'm calling tomorrow night's football game at Avon Lake. Looking forward to that. So that'll be a lot of fun. Big one for you guys against Amherst, too. And again, we'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. A lot of other things I want to get to here. You guys have the Avon Lake Schools Foundation event coming up at the end of October. What all goes on at this event?
You know, and this is a fundraiser. The foundation is a great organization for Avon Lake City Schools. They do scholarships for kids at the end of the year. One of the great things they do that's a little different is they actually do mini grants for our teachers. So during the course of the year, if the teacher has an idea, it might not necessarily be in the school's budget, they can apply for these mini grants from the foundation. They get the mini grants, and the one example that we use, that now whiteboards and some of the technology that are common in classrooms when they weren't, at Avon Lake City Schools, our first whiteboards were actually part of a mini grant that were purchased by the foundation, and allowed us to practice with them for a few years before we made that large expenditure, and now they're in every classroom we have in the district. So it's a great group, and the Shoreman Shuffle, it moved a little bit. You know, the last couple of years, it's been at the start of the school. They realized that everything is going so fast when school first starts that it would be good for them to move it a little deeper into the school year. So now it's at the end of October, the Shoreman Shuffle. You know, we want lots of people to show up. you know, please, nobody in my age group, because I think there were three last year, and I got third, so I got a medal.
Oh, boy.
You know,
so, all right. So you got some hardware. Nice. Okay.
Got some hardware, but I'm not sure whether that was because of my speed or because of my group.
Hey, you know what? Maybe a combination of all these things, but nice. Very nice. Well, speaking of shuffling, we'll shuffle into a different topic here as well. We had Shay Altmont with the Avon Lake Public Library on with us about a month ago, talking about their community read series. Hillary Jordan is the author of the book Mudbound. And you mentioned that Hillary was actually on the premises earlier today, and she was interacting with one of your language arts classes.
You know, and you know, the first is you know, just a shout out to Avon Lake Public Library. I mean, they are such a great asset for Avon Lake and such a great asset for our school system. This is just one event that they help put on. You know, they've got a science series that's a combination of Metro Parks that are all of our elementary kids get to go to all throughout the year. So it's wonderful. That's just not counting the reading pieces of it and summer reading and all the other things that they do for the kids of Avon Lake. This one is really nice because, you know, Hillary Jordan is an international author. You know, the book Mudbound is tremendous. Not an easy read, you know, and it's for our juniors and seniors. But again, that opportunity, like we talked before, it's one thing to sit in class. It's one thing to talk with your teacher and your peers about it, you know, maybe a Socratic seminar, you know, so that you can really get into the details of the book. But to have the author, you know, actually sit with you and you can ask them questions and they could talk about a lot of it was just talking about the writing process and everything from what do you do when you know, get writer's block. And you know, have someone that actually does it every day as a living be able to sit there and tell you that, you know, in the end, it's hard work. You get back to the screen and you start working because, you know, it's a process of putting these books together. So it was really exciting for us. You know, tonight at 7 o'clock at Avon Lake Public Library, she's having an adult meeting. And we'll spend about an hour and a half talking about her process and the book. She is writing a sequel. We did find out. So
nice.
Yeah. It was excellent. You know, I was there today when she was talking to the kids, and she's excellent. The kids asked wonderful questions and learned a lot, and we were able to again spend a little time thanking Avon Lake Public Library for what they do.
Good stuff. Well, we'd like to thank you, my friend, for coming in studio. Always a great time to have you here. A lot of great topics to discuss, as usual. And we'll certainly do this again soon. And like I say, you're going to be stuck with me again tomorrow night at an Avon Lake Memorial Stadium because I've got the play-by-play tomorrow night as you guys host the Amherst Comets. Bob, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, thank you for having us. And I look forward to seeing it tomorrow night. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful night to play football. And it's homecoming for us. So,
oh, nice.
You know,
okay.
It'll be a great night with, you know, a lot of pageantry, a lot of good stuff. So we'll have a lot of fun.
Very. It's going to be an ideal atmosphere for homecoming because people will be bundled up. You know, it's weird how 50 degrees this time of the year feels so much different than 50 degrees, say, in March. I mean, now we want to bundle up when we get to 50. We get to March, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, 50 isn't so bad. It's tank top and shorts weather, right?
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow night it will truly be fall, I think, and that good football weather. So
yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Jeans and a hoodie, football on a Friday, nothing better.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Bob, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you, Andy.
That's Bob Scott, superintendent at Avon Lake, joining us here on the Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. It's brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing, worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day.